Virgin Most Faithful, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the first reading, we hear about Solomon, who we heard yesterday, how wise he was, that even the Queen of Sheba came to him to learn of his great wisdom, and how Israel was blessed because of his wisdom and the good virtues that he had. But we see at the end of his life, Solomon, because of maybe lust, you know, took so many wives, even became kind of indiscriminate and took even pagan wives, and had so many wives that he started to try to please them all, even allowing them to introduce their pagan gods and their worship of the pagan gods on the hillsides around Jerusalem. And as we know, that their worship involved, especially the one that mentions our Moloch, involved human sacrifice. So obviously it was a great scandal and a great departure from the faith of the Israelites when our Lord, the God, expected of Solomon to be the one to uphold the true faith of the Jews and not to do anything to water it down or to introduce pagan worship. But because of his sins, God is going to punish him, not him directly, but later on his son who will follow him. God is keeping his covenant maybe with Solomon mostly because of David his father. He's not going to punish Solomon directly but indirectly through his son. And we look at this and we think, well, we can look at what is happening maybe in our own world today, that God in the Old Testament told the Israelites not to associate with pagans because of the danger of, instead of their faith enlightening the pagans, that they would become evangelized by the pagans around them and that they would start adopting pagan ways. And we can look at the Catholics today who are to be lights to the nation around them, to be good example, and how in many ways the culture has instead evangelized Catholics and to fit in, or to, they've seen the, you might say, all the false glitter, you might say, of the secular culture, and they have abandoned the gospel because, well, it takes much more strength. It takes much more virtue to practice the gospel, and it's easier to live, you might say, a pagan lifestyle or a secular lifestyle because we make gods into our own image and likeness. And that is pretty much what is the false worship of the 21st century and of the 20th century is. It's self-worship. And people have made themselves their god. They pamper themselves and, you might say, offer incense to themselves by making sure that they have a comfortable life. They have all the gadgets. They have all the amenities of a comfortable life, entertainment and everything, because it's the worship of self. And even atheists are not atheists. It's not that they don't believe in a god. They believe that they are God. And you cannot have anyone without, you might say, worshiping a higher being. They have to worship something because we're made to acknowledge some supreme being in our life. And with atheists, as even the brother of Christopher Hitchens, the famous atheist evangelist of the last, you know, the early part of this century, who passed away recently, his brother said, Christopher doesn't believe in no God. He believes he is his own God. That's the God he worships. And so this is what the church is facing today, is that there are many people who have to realize that they are not God. They have to get this rude awakening. And it shouldn't be that hard, you would think, But when you start to drink in the drug, you might say, of self-worship, it's kind of hard to get taken off the addiction and go through withdrawal symptoms. But the woman in the gospel today had what is necessary for someone to come to faith. She had humility. She realized that she was not even a believer, or she was not a Jew, so she didn't have the benefit of hearing all of the revelation of the Old Testament, but she obviously had faith, because she had the humility that is necessary for faith. She believed that Jesus had something that he could do for her, which she could not do for her own daughter. So when our Lord said that rather, seems a very harsh statement to her, that, you know, let the children be fed first, but it's not right to take the food of children and throw it to the dogs. Well, our Lord was doing that mainly to elicit, to draw out from her what he already knew. She had that humility of heart, and that, you might say, the seed of faith already in her. He wanted to draw that out, that she would say, she didn't give a proud response or say, well, you know, you should do it for me because of whatever. She said, you know, she recognized that, well, if I am a dog, then that's true, but even dogs get crumbs. And so would you give me this for the sake of my child, you know? And so our Lord says to her that before saying this, you may go. Because of this humility that she exhibited, our Lord gave her this gift of freeing her child from the demon. She did not, the believers, those who should have had faith in Christ, were accusing him of freeing people from the demons by demons. But this lady didn't have all that, she had enough faith to realize that Christ was good. He could do something for her, and she recognized that, in a certain sense, that goodness, and didn't attribute, she didn't sin against the Holy Spirit in attributing good to evil. She just recognized that in humility, that if she was a dog, and that she could receive even scraps from the Master. And so with that kind of humility that we need to also have in our world today, that people, if they're really going to get off of the self-worship, have to realize that they are not God. And maybe that's what will eventually happen, is God's going to remove all the things that we worship in this self-worship, the comforts, the amenities, the self-indulgence. That will be the way in which man will have to realize that they need God, and they're not it. And this is what we must pray for, and this is what we must do in our society as evangelists, that we shouldn't be evangelized by the culture, as Pope Francis is encouraging us, that we have a message which is far more important. We have the true joy of the gospel, which is not pleasure. Pleasure is, you know, what the world offers, which is passing, is momentary. But the joy of the gospel is that which remains. It's a certain, you might say, satisfaction of the heart. The heart's longing is that kind of joy that only the gospel can provide. Only what the world offers is momentary delights, which are, in most of the cases, are soon passing. But they can't offer the joy that only Christ can give. So that Christians, especially Catholics, because we have this great gift of the faith, that we should be on the offensive. We should be those who are seeing that people who are, of course, on the self-addiction of self-worship, when they come down from their high and realize that it was only a foolish and a disguise, that we hopefully can offer them the true answers to what they're looking for and help them to find the truth and the gospel, the good news that only the church has to offer to mankind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.